From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz, and voanews.id. Here is the news first, the headlines. U.S. President Donald Trump hails deal with Taliban to end 18-year war. The next is Turkey asks Russia to step aside in Syria. And the last is 188 Indonesians start their 14-day quarantine in Sebaru Kecil Island. Now the news in detail. President Trump signed a deal with the Taliban on Saturday, February 29th, aimed at bringing peace to Afghanistan. He said 5,000 U.S. troops would leave Afghanistan by May, and he would meet Taliban leaders in the near future, without specifying where. The U.S. and NATO allies have agreed to withdraw all troops within 14 months if the militants uphold the historic deal. Talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban are due to follow. Under the agreement, the militants also agreed not to allow Al-Qaeda or any other extremist group to operate in the areas they control. Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan said on Saturday he had asked President Vladimir Putin for Russia to stand aside in Syria and let Turkey fight Syrian government forces alone after 34 Turkish soldiers were killed this week. But the Syrian government forces, backed by Russian air power, kept up airstrikes in the northwestern province of Idlib, attacking the strategic city of Sarakib, which sits on an important road, the Syrian Observatory War Monitor reported. The government forces' airstrikes are part of a major assault to capture the province, part of the last remaining territory held by rebels backed by Turkey. Turkey, which has put forces into Idlib, also hit back, killing 26 pro-Damascus troops around Idlib and the Aleppo countryside, the Syrian Observatory said, and Turkey-backed rebels said they had retaken 6 towns and villages in southern Idlib. With diplomacy sponsored by Ankara and Moscow to ease tensions in tatters, Turkey has come closer than ever to confrontation with Russia on the battlefield in Syria. South Korean President Moon Jae-in said Sunday the government was wagging all-out responses to contain the novel coronavirus as the country reported 376 new cases, taking the total to 3,526. South Korea has the largest national total cases in the world outside China, after it saw a rapid surge in the number of coronavirus cases in recent days. Scores of events have been cancelled or postponed over the virus, while more than 70 countries raised their travel restrictions against South Korea. Nearly 90% of the cases were in Daegu, the center of the country's outbreak, and its neighboring North Gyeongsang province, the Korea Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said in a statement. the country's death toll remains at 17. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Saturday, February 29th, called on the public to cooperate in a tough battle to contain the coronavirus outbreak in the coming weeks as the country prepares to hold the Olympic Games in Tokyo, or Tokyo 2020, as planned. Abe had already come under fire for his handling of the coronavirus, and Saturday's news conference was his first since the outbreak. Abe said Japan would go ahead with both the Summer Olympics and a spring visit by China's President Xi Jinping, but added he would not hesitate to expand immigration curbs if needed. Abe returned to office in 2012 and is now Japan's longest-serving premier, has made hosting the Tokyo Olympics a top priority of his tenure. Officials have repeatedly denied that they are considering postponing or cancelling the games. RRI Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A former interior minister was sworn in as Malaysia's premier Sunday, marking the return of a scandal-mired regime to power after the last government's collapse. But ex-leader Mahathir Mohamad slammed the move as illegal. The Southeast Asian nation was plunged into turmoil a week ago as Mahathir's reformist Pact of Hope alliance, which stormed to a historic victory in 2018, collapsed after a bid to force out leader-in-waiting Anwar Ibrahim. The decision Saturday by the monarch to pick Muhyiddin was greeted with shock as Mahathir's allies claimed he had enough support to return as leader, and sparked widespread anger that the democratically elected government was being abruptly ejected. The king appoints the country's prime minister, who must show he has the support of most MPs. The government began the coronavirus observation process for 188 Indonesian workers of World Dream cruise ship on arrival at Sebaru Kecil Island in Seribu Islands, Jakarta. The observation process will run for 14 days, like to the process conducted in Natuna Island for 238 Indonesians evacuated from Wuhan, China. All Indonesians evacuated from the cruise ship had tested negative for coronavirus or COVID-19, but they still have to undergo the observation process to ensure they are in sound health before returning to their families. The last item, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin drew attention to the threat posed by radicalism and Islamophobia that can spur sectarian conflict in a country for which the government has incessantly promoted social harmony among people. He noted on the sidelines of the 3rd International Islamic Healthcare Conference and Expo, or IHACS, 2020 in Jakarta on Saturday, that there should be no radicalism in Islam, nor Islamophobia like those often found in Western countries, which have the potential to spark conflicts. Indonesia has initiated an international meeting of religion leaders aimed at enhancing inter-religious harmony, both domestically and internationally. Vice President expressed concern over the sectarian violence in India and was optimistic that such conflict would be avoided in other countries. And listener, to end the news, here are the main points once again. The first is U.S. President Donald Trump hails deal with Taliban to end 18-year war. And the second is Turkey asks Russia to step aside in Syria. And the last is 188 Indonesians start their 14-day quarantine in Sebaru Kecil Island. And that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's spotlight is on the government lobbies Saudi Arabia for Indonesian Umrah pilgrims. The Indonesian government is negotiating with the government of Saudi Arabia so that pilgrims from Indonesia are still permitted to enter the country to perform Umrah. As is known, starting Thursday, February the 27th, the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah of Saudi Arabia has temporarily stopped issuing visas and suspended the arrival of foreign nationals to Saudi Arabia to conduct umrah, visit the Prophet's mosque, and conduct tours. Deputy Minister of Saudi Hajj and Umrah, Abdul Aziz bin Wazan, through his release received in Jakarta on Thursday, said his country adopted the policy to prevent the inclusion of COVID-19 outbreaks. Mecca and Medina become a destinations for Muslims from all over the world to perform Hajj and Umrah. This policy is temporary and will be evaluated. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin on Thursday said that if the reason was the coronavirus, since Indonesia so far has proven not having any single case of infection, it should not have been embargoed. Therefore, the Indonesian embassy in Indonesia is negotiating so that pilgrims from Indonesia are still permitted to go to the country to carry out umrah. At the Presidential Palace Complex in Jakarta Thursday, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi asked Saudi Hajj authorities to accept Indonesian citizens who had already flown and landed. Retno Marsudi said if Indonesia gets the relief, then other countries also have the potential to have similar facilities. Thursday night, Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah reported that hundreds of Indonesian pilgrims who arrived in Saudi Arabia could still continue their regular worship activities, including making pilgrimages to Medina. Retno Marsudi asked ambassadors in Middle Eastern countries to monitor the condition of Indonesian citizens in the region because there is the potential for Indonesian citizens who are in transit cannot continue their journey. If it happens, it will be coordinated with each airline and travel agent. But until now, no citizens has been asked to return to Indonesia by Saudi Arabian authorities. Even so, the entire Indonesian embassy in the Middle East region continues to be alert to the development of the situation. Meanwhile, the Republic of Indonesia Hajj Umrah Travel Tour Association also hopes that Indonesian and Saudi governments will find a way out so that the delayed Umrah pilgrims will depart despite the rescheduling. And according to Deputy Chairman of the Association, Arta Hanif, there were about 2,000 pilgrims being delayed because they were held at the airport. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with March the 1st, 1936. Hoover Dam is completed. The Hoover Dam is located on the Colorado River Black Canyon on the border between the states of Arizona and Nevada. This dam has become one of the largest electricity producing facilities and the largest structure in the world. Originally known as the Boulder Dam in 1933, it was officially renamed Hoover in honor of President Herbert Hoover through a joint resolution of the Congress in 1947. Turning to March the 1st, 1947, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, begins operating. The International Monetary Fund is an international organization consisting of 189 countries that aims to strengthen global monetary cooperation, strengthen financial stability, encourage international trade, expand employment, as well as sustainable economic growth, and alleviate poverty throughout the world. This organization is headquartered in Washington, D.C. and was formed in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Conference, then formalized in 1945 with 29 member states. The IMF had from the beginning aimed at restructuring the international payment system. Member countries contribute reserve funds using a quota system. These reserve funds can be borrowed by countries experiencing difficulties in their balance of payments. I'll end with March the 1st, 1949. March the 1st general attack. On March the 1st, 1949, a large-scale simultaneous attack on the then Dutch occupational troops took place in the Yogyakarta region and beyond. At that time, Yogyakarta became the capital of Indonesia. The movement of the capital from Jakarta to Yogyakarta was followed by attacks from the Dutch allies to take control of Indonesia, which was a Dutch colony. This incident was known as Dutch military aggression too. In response to this attack, the Indonesian military showed resistance under General Sudirman's command. Through the general attack on March 1, 1949, the Indonesian people wanted to regain control of the capital and show the world that Indonesia still existed. As a result, the March 1 general attack simultaneously strengthened Indonesia's bargaining position in the negotiation at the UN Security Council. In addition to getting UN recognition, this success proves that Indonesia's military strength still exists. Although not directly, this attack had an impact on the transfer of Indonesian sovereignty on December 27, 1949. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. In his email, he told that he watched our program on Diplomatic Forum with the topic Freedom of the Press, a tribute to B.J. Habibie on February 26th through Facebook. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for your participation and attention on our program. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Semudah itu kau tulis kembali kisah cinta yang berakhir luka. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku, kini kau kembali tawarkan berjuta mimpi. Pergilah, cintamu bukan untuk padanya. Tak perlu lagi kau ungkit cerita, biar berakhir di sini. Kurang
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, March the 1st, 2020, is on Indonesia Marathon 2020. The inaugural Indonesia Marathon Series, which is an international running competition initiated by Central Indonesian National Sports Committee, or CONI, is ready to be held for the first time in Jakarta on August the 23rd. According to the chairperson of the committee, Marciano Norman, at a press conference at the office of the Ministry of Youth and Sport in Jakarta on Thursday, Indonesia Marathon is an international standard running competition referring to the International Marathon Association and Distance Race International Association of Athletics Federations. Marciano said the goal of the Indonesian Marathon is to be a starting point so that marathons in Indonesia could advance to world marathons such as Chicago, Tokyo, and Berlin marathons. The event will invite 10,000 runners both from within and outside the country to compete for prizes and rotating trophies. Besides marathon, there will be three other numbers that are contested, namely half marathon, 10K, and 5K. The participants will run through several iconic and historic objects in the capital. The winners will be entitled to fight the rotating cup for winners in national, international, and several other categories, while the Central Indonesian National Sports Committee Chairman's Cup will be given to the winners of the community category. Not only that, the organizing committee also prepared a fantastic prize of 1 billion rupiah for national participants who were able to break Eduardus Nabunome's marathon national record, which is 2 hours and 19 minutes 18 seconds, that had lasted for 27 years. The launch of the Indonesia Marathon 2020 is also a series of commemoration of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia in August. Meanwhile, Minister of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali stated that his ministry was ready to fully support the implementation of the Indonesia Marathon. He said this event was very good. The goal is to be able to penetrate into the world marathon. For this reason, his office will work closely with the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy to oversee sports tourism, especially as this will be held annually in different cities. After Jakarta, Indonesia Marathon plans to continue the next series in several other cities such as Lombok, Belitung, Medan, Orlik Toba, and Banyuwangi. That was My Indonesia Today on Indonesia Marathon 2020. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Siddhartha Bhattacharji in India. He was listening to our broadcast in Indonesian language through 3325 kHz at 1400 hours until 1430 hours UTC with CO444. It was good signal. Hello, Mr. Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Thank you for sending your reception report and also audio on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to Indonesian section, so please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. Well, listener, here is another Indonesian song for you. Happy listening.
Hari demi hari dan juga malam, dari malam aku bernafas lalu mengingat semua tentangmu. Saat berdua hatiku pun tergetar, saat kau senyum hatiku pun berdebar, ternyata bukan milikku. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia. Berharap kau segera melupakannya, berharap kau tak lagi suka padanya. Tuhan tolong ubah hatinya. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia.
That was Elvis, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will take you for a visit to Tulung Agung, which is located in East Jawa Province, to enjoy the beautiful scenery on Popoh Beach. In Indonesia, Tulung Agung is well known for its marble production, but there is another side of the city. It has beautiful beach tourism. One of the beaches famous for its beauty is Popoh Beach. Popoh Beach is precisely located in the Besuki district and is a mainstay tourist spot of the city of Tulung Agung. The tourist spot is located about 13 kilometers from downtown Tulung Agung. Popoh Beach has a beautiful natural panorama with pretty big waves and a green spread from behind the hill. Not only that, this hill can also be climbed by visitors to see the breathtaking and exotic view of this Popoh Beach from the top. Of course, to go up the hill, you need strong stamina to be able to climb the many steps to the top. After enjoying the beauty of Popoh Beach, it feels incomplete if you don't try the culinary there. Around Popoh Beach, there are many food stalls that offer delicious seafood dishes such as shrimp and crab dishes. Most of the stalls around Popoh Beach are still using traditional methods in preparing their food, such as cooking with a stove fueled with a charcoal and, of course, using typical spices. Around Popoh Beach, besides stalls selling seafood dishes, there are also stalls selling various types of souvenirs typical of Tulung Agung, such as t-shirts, trinkets, and various handicrafts products made by local people, like decoration made of seashells and other marine objects. In addition, on the way home from Popoh Beach, you will also pass through a sub-district called Campur Darat. This place is the biggest center of marble craftsmanship not only in Jawa but also in Indonesia. Here you can also buy souvenirs with a variety of attractive shapes and all made of marble. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Popoh Beach in Tulung Agung. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through website www.voinews.id. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you for your email, including reception report. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you and other listeners around the world. Here is the song.
Hancur aku, hancur.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about investing events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's miscellany is titled Documentary of Mentawai Tribe, screened in Oslo, Norway. Stay tuned. Traditional life of Mentawai Tribe in West Sumatra attracted a young Norwegian filmmaker, Audun Amundsen, so he made documentary titled Newtopia. Information and Social Culture Function at Indonesian Embassy in Oslo, Nina Evayanti, to Antara London on Friday, said the less than an hour documentary was screened at Wisma Indonesia in Oslo, Norway, during movie night with Friends of Indonesia. To make this documentary, Auden lived amongst Mentawai tribe since 2004, more precisely amongst family of a Mentawai healer called Aman Paksa. Auden could master Indonesian language and even Mentawai language in 6 months. Newtopia was produced by Up North Film for VGTV and NHK. Auden said people of Mentawai upheld strongly their tradition that had been passed for generations. Also, Mentawai has beautiful nature with forest and sea that provide all their needs. With Newtopia, Auden Amundsen showed the effort of Mentawai people in preserving their culture with diverse life and ecosystem. This film is about conflict faced by traditional people of Mentawai like Aman Paksa when touching the modernization. Tradition that was passed on 4 generations, harmonious with forest and regulating next generation, was conflicted with modern values that are full of capitalization and competition. Aman Paksa had those experiences such as when buying electric motor for his boat and flying to Jakarta with Auden Amundsen. He decided to return to his life in Mentawai forests. Ambassador Todung Mulya Lubis appreciated the Newtopia, which contains personal and objective impression on lives in deeps of Mentawai. He added, Newtopia is more than about ancient exotic cultures, but an epic about friendship and human nature. Ambassador Todung said, Indonesia must be proud of diverse ethnicities and cultures, like Mentawai tribe, that can survive for thousands of years. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about documentary of Mentawai tribe screened in Oslo, Norway. See you next time. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Run. The name Run is taken from the initials of the members' names, namely Rai, Asta, and Nino. The music group, which was formed in 2006, has been known since its first album, titled For Your Life, which was released in 2008. Its flagship song is Pandangan Pertama, which made the name Run become well-known in the Indonesian music scene. Themed Love, this song tells the story of someone who is in love at first sight. Well, listener, here is Pandangan Pertama by Run.
Sampai
Voice of Indonesia.
kita di sini tanpa suara, dan aku resah harus menunggu lama kata darimu. Mungkin butuh kursus merangkai kata untuk bicara, dan aku benci harus jujur padamu tentang semua ini. Jam dinding pun tertawa karena ku hanya padamu. Aku sayang padamu. Mungkin Sabtu nanti ku ungkap semua padamu. Aku sayang padamu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. See you on the next English program.